It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. What does food have to do with an Appalachian history of civil disobedience? Some might argue quite a lot, and quite recently.
One of the stories that we certainly saw in the headlines from time to time, but we don't really think about after the fact, was the way that food played this really critical role in the teacher strike.
We'll hear more about how in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The head of the Catholic Church in West Virginia resigned this week. The Pope announced the acceptance of his resignation yesterday morning, while also announcing an investigation into allegations of sexual harassment. Glennis Board has the story.
The bishop of the Wheeling Charleston Catholic Diocese, Michael Bransfield, turned 75 last weekend, and as per Catholic canon law, he submitted a letter of resignation to the Pope in Rome. The resignation was officially accepted yesterday morning, along with an announcement that the bishop is under investigation because of allegations of sexual harassment lodged against him. Communications director for the diocese, Tim Bishop, says the work the Catholic Church does supporting communities throughout the state will continue uninterrupted, but that while the investigation is ongoing, Bransfield will not be living in the region.
Bishop Bransfield has been instructed to live outside the diocese of Wheeling-Charleston pending the outcome of the investigation.
The Pope named Archbishop of Baltimore, William Laurie, as the temporary leader of the diocese and also to investigate claims. Laurie arrived in Wheeling this week to begin investigating. The Vatican has instructed Laurie to make his investigation public. Laurie also set up a hotline for potential victims. This is not the first time Bransfield dealt with allegations of sexual misconduct. He was investigated in 2007 for alleged groping. In 2012, he was implicated in a Philadelphia sex abuse case. Bransfield denied all allegations. He's been bishop in West Virginia since 2009. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Ford in Wheeling.
The Appalachian Food Summit began as an online conversation between Mountain Foodway chefs, scholars, and farmers who have a stake in the region's food culture. It grew into an annual in-person gatherings of those stakeholders. This year's conference will be held in West Virginia for the first time. West Virginia chef, journalist, and farmer Mike Costello is one of the summit's organizers. He sat down with Jesse Wright to talk about this year's theme of solidarity, resistance, and subsistence.
Mike Costello, welcome back. You mentioned this year that the summit's in West Virginia for the first time. You also mentioned that you have this sort of theme. Can you expand on that a little bit?
So this year we really wanted to celebrate something that has been in the news here in West Virginia, but also is just sort of so common throughout our history in Appalachia, and that's a history of solidarity, resistance, and subsistence. So that's actually sort of the official theme. You know, there's the teacher strike that happened this year in West Virginia, for instance. You know, it was all over the news. We know the results of it. We know how that inspired these movements across the country and other states, similar movements. And one of the stories that we certainly saw in the headlines from time to time, but we don't really think about after the fact, was the way that food played this really critical role in the teacher strike. First, it was sort of the governor or some of the state delegates that were sort of accusing the teachers of being so greedy, and they were making statements like, well, because of the greedy teachers, the students are starving. You know, they're not able to come to school and get the nourishment that they get every day from their lunch that's served to them. So the teachers realized that this was, you know, part of the consequence of them not being in the classroom. And, you know, I would also say that the teachers just care tremendously about their students. And you saw that when it was the teachers themselves who got together and they were putting together lunches and they were making sure that their students in need were fed throughout the strike. I think another example of this is with the West Virginia Mine Wars. Not just the Mine Wars, but, you know, if you look at even some of the more recent strikes, this was a similar phenomenon, but particularly during the Mine Wars era, because you had these communities, you had immigrants, you had some folks who had been here maybe for several generations, you had these barriers of segregation along racial or religious or ethnic lines. And, you know, the obvious strategy there on behalf of the companies was to sort of keep everyone separate and keep them from talking and keep them from organizing. But, you know, these miners, they knew that without those barriers, they would be stronger. So there are these great stories in the Mine Wars of the miners, and particularly the miners wives, leading this communal effort to grow food together and to preserve food together. You know, they realized that the more food that they could grow and that they could preserve, the longer they could extend the strike. You know, the less they would have to rely on the companies themselves. And that gave them power and that gave them leverage.
Someone coming up and getting involved from the public in that summit, what can they expect to see? What can they expect to do?
We have a pretty full day planned of what we think are going to be great interactive conversations about this theme of solidarity through food. And, you know, we have folks coming up. Like, we do have someone from the West Virginia Mine Wars Museum, Wilma Steele, one of the founders there, who's going to be talking about food's role in the mine wars. We have organizers who are, you know, part of the teacher strikes who are going to be talking about their experience with food and the teacher strikes. We have historians who've looked at food is a signifier of women's organizing, feminist movements in Appalachia since the 1920s. We have people who are doing food justice work today with immigrant communities or communities of color and bridging rural and urban divides. And we're really looking forward to that conversation because that is such an important conversation about what food solidarity looks like moving forward. You know, I think that one of the most important functions of the Appalachian Food Summit is that of a convener to simply bring these stakeholders together and spark a conversation, because that's, you know, that's where all the magic really happens, is sort of back in the communities with these conversations that maybe started at a food summit, but, you know, really, you know, become a lot stronger and more important back on the ground during that year between the summits.
Well, Mike, thanks very much for joining us. Pleasure once again to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
That was News Director Jesse Wright talking with chef and 100 Days in Appalachia journalist Mike Costello about this year's Appalachian Food Summit. The three-day event kicks off tonight in Clarksburg with a cornbread convocation, continues Saturday in Bridgeport with speakers, as well as readings and performances by regional artists. It concludes Sunday with workshops from chefs and cooks on topics such as the tradition of salt rising bread, vinegar shrubs, and non-traditional flowers. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Areas of fog this morning, scattered rain in the east, partly cloudy skies in the west with highs in the 80s. Tonight, a chance of rain in the south and east, partly cloudy elsewhere with lows in the 60s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the new WVU Heart and Vascular Institute, heart and vascular care close to home. And by Orion Strategies, a full-service strategic communication firm providing public relations, government affairs, creative services, and research and polling with offices in Charleston, Buchanan, Martinsburg, Pittsburgh, and Columbus. Orion-strategies.com. The Wood Brothers make their third appearance on Mountain Stage as part of this week's new episode. Here they are performing Chocolate on My Tongue, a favorite from their 2006 debut album, Ways Not to Lose, as our Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
We thank you so much. We got a song here, it's about chocolate. Over the years we've written a lot of dessert songs and I wish we could do them all, but inspired by the brownies down in catering, we chose this one right here. Thank you. sitting on the front porch, ice cream in my hand, melting in the sun, all that chocolate on my tongue. And there's good enough reason to live. Good enough reason to live. Sitting in the bathtub, high five playing low, digging old Al Green. Well, you must know what I mean. And it's a good enough reason to live. Good enough reason to live. If I die young, at least I got some chocolate on my tongue. And if I die young, I got some chocolate on my girl in my arms, smiling in my eyes, getting me all hypnotized. And that's good enough reason to live. Good enough reason to live. Hey, and that's good enough reason to live. Good enough reason to live. And if I I got some chocolate on my tongue. And if I die young, at least I got some chocolate on my tongue. And if I die young, at least I got some chocolate on my tongue.
That was the Wood Brothers performing Chocolate on My Tongue live on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.